ESPN 97.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, a court has ruled that the unsealing of the letter from Rob Manfred to the Yankees will not take place yet until the Yankees and Major League Baseball can make their case of why it should not be unsealed. So it's on hold anyway. I think that it's going to be awfully difficult for the Yankees to... They're going to have to come up with a better tactic than, well, it just hurts our reputation, so we don't want... No, who cares about your reputation? Stop. Who cares? So, you know what? The Astros found out, yeah, your reputation will be hurt, yes, but we need the truth here. And we'll see whether or not this helps, what is it, DraftKings or the other one?
FanDuel.
Which one is it, FanDuel?
No, I think it can stem from DraftKings, yeah.
DraftKings yeah. is suing Major League Baseball because they...
DraftKings. But that's not... It's people who played. I think it's people who played in DraftKings. It's actual participants in DFS.
Oh, fantasy players are suing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, regardless... The letter is not going to be unsealed yet. Now, what if the judge rules that, okay, we're not going to unseal that letter? What if the Yankees are right? Major League Baseball is right. we're going to keep that sealed. I kind of feel like it'll even be better.
I told you, Dale. I said, yeah. Do you think John is looking at? Before I realized they had postponed it with their move. I was wondering if you would be giddy about today or very nervous and hesitant. And I thought you were going to be a little nervous and hesitant because you've got ammunition as long as nothing comes out.
I don't want it to be unsealed and then it was a bullpen coach was talking on the phone, you know, and he shouldn't have been or something like that.
Rob Manfred will at you so hard.
I want it to be where we don't know. Where I can scream at Yankee fan, you see, you cheaters, you cheated too. It's in that letter, and you guys have got it. And the Yankees fought hard. You think the Yankees would have fought that hard if it was over a bullpen coach talking on the phone? He shouldn't have been. No, you guys were using electronics to steal sides, and so I'm good. I'm fine with it not being unsealed. I just knowing that there's a sealed letter of cheating from Rob Manfred to the Yankees is good enough for me. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm good. As a matter of fact, now, if it does turn out that it was, you know, they did have cameras out in the outfield and they were cheating in real time, that would be better. I'm just worried that it's not going to be that. That's all.
I am too. I'm worried for you.
Mm-hmm.
I worry for you because all the Yankees fans have been keeping your receipts, and they're coming. They're coming for you.
Oh no, I know they. I know they are. So baseball writer probably is too. You know what I'm saying? Baseball writer's probably come. Oh, I can't wait till this is unsealed, and then go after John.
He's gonna find out.
Come, bring it, baseball writer. You're all nerds. You're all nerds. And I don't give a.
What if the letters open up and it said, "I just wanted to say thank you for doing things the right way, New York. I was very pleasantly surprised to find out there was no cheating after we went through a thorough investigation, and we even found some information was planted by outside sources. You guys are really doing things great. We really appreciate all your cooperation. Thanks for everything." And what if it was like that? And then you'd have to be like, oh.
No, then I'll throw up all over myself. I don't care. You know what? I just feel great about going after a Yankee fan the other day, and I don't care. I had a day where the Yankee fans shut up, and I'm fine. And I'm fine with it. I'm really.
It was nice, wasn't it?
It was a good
Is there
day.
Anything that could come out on the Dodgers?
I know, right? We need something on the Dodgers.
Something on the Dodgers.
Oh, well, you mean Eric Gagne saying 80% of his team?
Yeah, for some reason, yeah, steroids don't take.
That's not, that don't count.
Steroids don't take for whatever reason. Ask Rachel Nichols. It's steroids are fine. Steroids don't hurt. A, they don't hurt anybody. B, there's no real advantage gain. And C, it's never cost anyone a job in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I know? Because people said that. Not baseball people, just, you know, some people.
No, Twitter, baseball writer said it's not as people. Important. It's not a big deal. Not well. Don't listen, you know, to Doug Glanville.
Oh, really?
Who
how many players have said that? How many players have said steroids aren't a big deal throughout the years? How many pitchers said that?
Well, some pitchers actually. I'm really surprised that some pitchers aren't madder about Barry Bonds. Some pitchers aren't. You know, I it really is surprising to me a little.
You
bit.
You know why, John? Because they kept
so
the Omerta.
All these players. Why these players are so mad at the Astros and yet not at Barry Bonds and not at A-Rod and not at Big Poppy, not at Manny. They're not. They're just, that's what this is another. I just don't get based. I just don't understand it. I'd be pissed. Doug Glanville was pissed. He lost his job because of steroids. He couldn't compete anymore because of steroids.
The baseball's omerta did not allow people to talk for it, and baseball also had a loophole where they basically said it's not tested for. Like, you know, you had Donald Fehr make sure, which I never understood this, how the Players Association never fought harder that all these pitchers who were, you know, you'd hear rumblings about some of them would get pissed off. I remember Tom Glavine, it came out that he was kind of pissed off that it wasn't accounted for drug testing in the collective bargaining agreement for baseball. And I'm just like, why aren't more big name stars pushing for it? Well, because a lot of the hitters didn't want it. And then B, there is like a, you know, if you come out hard against it and say that your league is full of steroids, then you're breaking the Omerta code. You're breaking the code of no snitching in baseball. Mike Fiers broke. Look, everything's full of snitches. People can act like there's no snitch, like, don't snitch. That's only selective. The fact is, there's a ton of snitching that goes on right now. And that's fine. If you want to get rid of bad things or whatever, I guess that's the snitching that you do. But in baseball, I really think, John, it was a case of, hey, this was collectively bargained to where technically, and Mark McGwire was all about this in that documentary, 30 for 30, technically, you could get away with having things that were,
yeah, but
you know,
just like the using the electronics where the commissioner sent out a letter. He also sent out a letter about steroids too. Steroids are illegal and we're not using them.
Yeah,
you know, it's collectively bargained as that was. It was still illegal in this country. They were still committing a crime.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Did they have they had a prescription for what was it? What was your injury that you were and were you prescribe the dosage that you use for injury recovery?
Right. Well, yeah, right. I mean, you get steroids when you got a cough. You get you know, a doctor will prescribe you steroids for that, but that's a doctor's. That's totally, totally, totally different than what they were doing. But neither here nor there. I don't get baseball. The unwritten rules, I don't get them. It's okay to do steroids, Barry Bonds. You can hit 70 homers in a season, 73, and you can break Henry Aaron's record, but God forbid anyone uses a television camera. What? I don't know.
Speed is literally a performance enhancer, and that's what 70s and 80s baseball was.
Oh, they all did, yeah. Oh, the greenies? Oh,
yeah.
Greenies were
amphetamines
rampant.
Were just a big part of baseball, at least for certain teams.
Right.
Pirates. The Pirates were all jacked up. Everyone knew that.
Some guys you know were on a lot of greenies. Some guys that you were rooting for, okay? There were a lot of greenies running around back in the day, Lance. There was, you know, Cammy was an admitted steroid user. Cammy said, oh, are you kidding? Yes, I did him. And a bunch of my teammates did him too, by the way.
I wish you guys would just move on and accept that the 2017 Astros and part of the 2018 Astros were the worst people to ever grace the sport. So all this, oh, what about steroids and baseball's unwritten rules? Just accept the fact that your team were the worst people to ever play baseball.
Apparently so, yeah.
And get over it. Yep. Get over it. You guys are the Astros terrible people. Anyone who injected steroids into their
body.
Did
you see that Did you see when Jose Altuve had that wrinkle in his shirt?
You mean buzzer.
It was a buzzer.
Yeah, that wrinkle was obviously Astros had buzzers all over their bodies.
Yeah, you think that's insane? You see what the NBA is doing with those rings that can detect corona? You don't think the Astros were ahead of the game with technology? Oh, anything is possible, Lance.
Corona rings.
Yeah. The NBA will ask people in the bubble. It won't be mandatory, but you can wear a corona ring. It'll determine whether you have it, I think. And
are the same people who brought you mood rings?
Yeah.
From the 70s or whatever year it was, 80s, where it would change colors. Like, oh, this is a pretty good determinant. Yeah, I got news for you. If a ring could determine whether or not you actually had coronavirus, it would be the biggest bump in stock in the history of the stock exchange.
Maybe you want to get in on it because they're going to be able to wear those rings. It's real.
I've heard there's also something you can – there's some scientist who's like, oh, no, if you tag something onto your clothes, it creates a protective barrier around your face that kills coronavirus. And you can also put it in your air duct system. Like, okay, I guess we'll find out.
What?
It's here. No, it comes from –
Well, I know your numbers guy. But
rockets and whatnot. I mean,
all you have to do is read an article. Oh, I'm supposed to trust Tillman considering his history? I read an article about
tree.
It. Yeah, I'm supposed to
his
trust him.
Tree.
I saw that family tree. I'm not trusting anything that comes from Tillman.
Well, I don't think it's coming directly from him. I think they're
using. Is he involved?
I think they're using it. I think the NBA is using this.
Are they using Tillman's money? Because I know that can't be trusted, according to an article.
I'm not sure how much of that there is right now.
Well. All I know is if you reach back almost 100 years, you'll find some ties that aren't great. So I'm going to need Tillman to sell the team.
Sell the team.
Yeah.
I just by the way, did you guys see Jordan Spieth's round yesterday?
No one did. Why are you asking us those questions?
He triple bogeyed 3. And then went on to birdie 8 holes.
I'm getting a head start on using the bathroom because the breaks are so short.
Six in a row and shot a 5 under. Are you kidding me?
Well, John has a live, so Lance, you can go pee, which he's doing right now because you started Jordan Spieth and Golf Talk. So Lance,
Jordan Spieth,
Lance
everybody.
Is out of the room.
Texas is back, folks.
Maybe Jordan Spieth is back, but Texas.
He played well last week, too.
He
just
did.
So you know.
If you say so. Texas may be back on the course, but Texas players don't feel so great about the response from the university.
No, Texas players. One Texas player is none too pleased.
It's like, nah. After conversations, I don't feel comfortable representing Texas anymore.
Yeah. Wow.
It's wonderful.
So we can talk about that on the other side, but right now we're talking about Chastain Ford. That's right. Get your new – step right up. Get that new Explorer Sport. Get that new Expedition. Get that new F1, F250, whatever it is, and get the unbelievable deal and the unbelievable people. I really, really, really do. I highly recommend this dealership just because of the people. And when I went there and I got my car, they worked my deal. They worked it so hard. We got to get you into. I said, "Well, what kind of payments be?" They said, "What kind of payments be?" Well, I need my payments to be here. And they were like, "No problem. We'll get that job done for you." And they did. And it was unbelievable how hard. I'm telling you, they worked the deal hard until we got it to where I had to be. And they're going to finagle the deal for you to make sure that you get into your price range to get to. And I got a beautiful. I mean, I got the Expedition. I love it. My car is unbelievable. And you know what? I'm paying. My monthly payments are where I needed them to be, and they'll do that for you too. They'll just go online, and immediately someone will pop up and say, "How can I help you?" And even if you don't want any help, you can navigate it yourself. That's all fine. You don't want to go to the dealership, you don't have to. You can buy right online. ChastainFord.com. Or get to the dealership and sanitize. You will love doing business with these people. You'll be part of the Chastain family. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Homestead, just 5 minutes from downtown, 2 exits from 59. It's Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance, you went to the bathroom, so you missed it. Maybe John's in the bathroom right now. I don't know where he is. But as we were going to break, we were talking about how Jordan Spieth was back.
Yeah.
But Texas,
I heard.
Maybe Texas isn't so back in terms of their football program. Did you see another Texas player who was like, I don't really feel good about representing Texas? Maybe you – this is a junior, so maybe you were going to do some work on him. Jawan Mitchell. He was a junior. I think he was a JUCO transfer, so last year was his first year at Texas. He played quite a bit for them. So it's not like he was just a guy. He said, we put our blood, sweat, and tears in every day so the city of Austin can enjoy their Saturdays. For once, we decided to voice our opinions about things that can help better the community. It seems they only have our front, but not our backs. People who want to create change don't care how much money can be lost, don't care about who hates them or any bad outcomes that may happen. The only thing on our mind should be equality. So he played in 11 games last year, 3.5 tackles, 39. So he 3.5 tackles for loss and 3 sacks. But he said he no longer feels comfortable representing Texas.
What is he referring to specifically?
Well, I imagine, you know, Texas.
Now, was it yesterday? The president of the university. Like we said, the president was going to meet with the players because the players had issues. The players had their demands of things that they want to change, the eyes of Texas, and other things that they want to change on campus. And apparently I don't know if it stemmed from that, but the president did meet with the players, and they did sit down and talk, and now now Mitchell comes out with this statement. I don't know if it stemmed from that or he wasn't satisfied or whatever the case may be, but he does not feel comfortable at the University of Texas.
Certainly not playing for them, at least.
Right, right. Now, and representing Texas.
Now, his initial Instagram post, or was it Twitter, was, I think, before the meeting, because it was June 17th, so that was a couple days ago, 7:30. So he posted this on a Wednesday, and they had their meeting on a Thursday. So I'm not sure if the meeting was enough to get him to change his mind. But at least before that meeting with the president, he was like, I'm not doing this. So maybe a meeting and he was in it might have changed, but I haven't seen that yet. This isn't about the Longhorns. This isn't about me. This is about our world. Something that is much bigger than us. I'm not sure what happened leading up to the meeting that made him feel that way, but.
Wednesday evening, the interim president, Jay Hartzell, and Chris Del Conte met face to face with the players.
So maybe
when did this come out?
Wednesday evening, 7:30 on a Wednesday night.
Maybe they didn't give in on everything.
And no punches with. It's unclear how the meeting went. It was first reported by the American Statesman shortly afterward. Texas linebacker Jawan Mitchell pulled no punches with a social media post. So it was right after that.
So Mitchell's one of many Longhorn student athletes who've spoken out about racism, social injustice in recent days. He's also one of few football players who have either said or implied that their days at Texas are over. Of note, Texas wideout Brennan Eagles said he is not going to play another snap, knowing what's going in society due to color in the system being broken. Defensive back Anthony Cook also said he would not play another snap, but deleted his tweet. And look, if you're willing to, I don't know if Brennan Eagles is a player. I don't know. Jawan Mitchell obviously has played and continues to play. There's been talk about players who wouldn't play any more sports as a sign of solidarity. If they choose to do that, then that's their choice, and that's admirable that they really are. It's not just being somebody on Twitter typing something and putting hashtags. They're standing up for what they believe in. You only get one shot at your college. If you're a college athlete, you only get one shot at it, and if you feel that firmly about it and you stand strong with that, then that's, you know, I have a lot of respect for you because you're basically saying I'm going to end my college and potentially my football or athletic days, and that is certainly a choice they can make. I don't know that – I think if you're Texas, you have to respect it and let those guys just quit the team or whatever they're going to do, and You have to do what you think is right. As at Texas, I think they'll move forward. I don't think you're gonna, there's not going to be any universities who don't want to move forward and try to work with players to make the system better. That's not realistic that that's going to happen. It's also not realistic that you can expect to create an entire list of demands and see everything fulfilled at once in one off season in the midst of a pandemic. I mean, it's just not realistic. But I do think you're going to see change, and it's a much more rapid pace than it's ever been. I do think you're going to see that. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but if players say they don't want to play, if you're a university, you have to quote unquote respect the decision.
Yeah,
and let them not play. I mean, and if Mitchell doesn't want to play at Texas, you have to either go back to him and talk to him about whatever it is, or you have to let him go. And if he doesn't want to play ball anymore, but it doesn't sound like he's saying he doesn't want to play ball anymore. He just doesn't want
to
play Texas.
No, he wants to go somewhere else. He doesn't want to represent Texas. Here's the thing, though, it's going to be interesting to see. This will be used in recruiting. Okay, look at these guys had to leave because they don't feel comfortable at the University of Texas. And now with Gundy, it's going to be very interesting to see how his recruiting goes after all of this crap, is if he's going to be able to get top-notch African-American players to come and play for him anymore. And that might be the straw in that, you know, all the stuff that Gundy, you know, he's crazy, the stuff that he says, the stuff that he's been saying and everything else. This one, the N-bombs with Alfred Williams, then that's probably going to be his downfall. I don't think there's any question this dude is in trouble. Is more than likely not going to make it through this.
Yeah, you were talking about the money that might have kept him in place. So apparently, I guess like any other contract, there are caveats that say if you bring undue, I don't know, not shame, but undue attention onto the program and the university, and in other words, you make us look bad by your actions, we can fire you with cause, and all that money that is due you goes out the window. Is this enough of Oklahoma State says, you know what, Gundy ain't worth the heat? Because he's got like a rollover thing where it's always where you always have the 5-year contract. So is this enough to get Gundy out if they decided that's enough for you?
Yeah, it absolutely is. That could be with cause. Hey, you're dropping N-bombs in 1989. That's cause. And it'll probably end up in a lawsuit. I don't think there's no question.
Yeah. But then Gundy, yeah. Oh, it will 100% if he gets kicked out of there, it's going to end up in a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did not, that happened. I don't know. The argument's going to be in my contract, I cannot, you know, it's a morals clause typically. That did not happen inside of my contract at all. I have reacted and been responsible for the morals clause inside of my contract. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, okay, let's say a coach signs a contract and he was he's being accused of rape back in the 90s. Is that enough?
Well,
of them?
So here's what's going to happen. Cancel culture / the over the top stuff that goes on. Because we know that it's a force, obviously. It's pushing people out. I saw a story about a data scientist who got fired for this one was crazy. I was like, oh, we're in a real scary time. But anyway, what's going to happen is at some point there's going to be a reckoning between financial. There's going to be lawsuits versus some of the crazier cancel culture stuff. The stuff where you think this is outrageous, this is outlandish, mm-hmm. because when you start getting into people's money and they start suing, then this stuff is going to go to court, and so then it's going to stop being that that you have people who are trying to bully someone out, and institutions are going to be forced into a reckoning of pressure through social media means and whatever the case may be, you know, the pressure to get rid of somebody. But if it's not just and if it's not warranted and due, then there's going to be a financial hammer that comes down on those institutions that choose to do that. So at some point, there is going to have to be – you cannot just bend a knee to every single thing that's out there if it's not just and with cause. If it's just something where there is just pressure and leverage being pushed, the courts are going to have to make a decision. And the courts don't always decide the way that you think they're going to decide. And so that will – that's going to land squarely on the institutions themselves who have these hiring practices in place, because they're not going to want to. They don't like the public sentiment against them. They also don't like having to pay out millions in a lawsuit. It'll be interesting when that happens.
Now, the Alfred Williams thing isn't a secret because it came out in 1989.
Right, that was out there. But so, they hired him since then.
Yeah, so should what Gundy allegedly said, and it's Alfred Williams says he said it again this week, that Gundy said it, has other people backing him up that said Gundy said it, should that be an immediate disqualification from being a head coach or even a coach in college football? If that allegation is true.
I would think you don't hire them in the first place.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
once they're hired, something that happened 30 years ago, I don't think it's something that's going to...
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
No, I'm saying from a court of law. I'm saying if a lawsuit comes to bear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Well, I don't know what you do now if you're Holder, Mike Holder. I don't know.
Well, you got to pay. You guys got
to
give.
Well, you're going to have to pay him off. But I don't even. Do you fire him? That's a question right now, because the OAN T-shirt and now this is it's getting to the point where, first of all, he's going to have an impossible time recruiting.
See, do you really think that? Because I don't think this Juwan. Here, let me give you a little bit more on Juwan Mitchell. Here's an article from February 3rd, and I just found this myself just Googling his name, wanting to see his stats and stuff like this. This popped up. 5 days ago, this is February 3rd. 5 days ago, Texas Longhorn junior linebacker Juwan Mitchell entered the NCAA transfer portal and looked like he was on the verge of leaving the Longhorns with even less depth at the linebacker position. However, entering the transfer portal is not the same as leaving the program, and Mitchell was convinced to stay in Austin after reportedly meeting with coaches. So on Monday, the news broke that Mitchell withdrew his name. So this has been something. He went to Butler Junior College. I guess he was only there a year and was looking to transfer him.
Yeah, he's a sophomore.
So he was only at Butler 1 year then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so, because it says he was a sophomore linebacker, right?
Yeah, you're right. So just 1 year. And so it is worth noting he was already trying to leave in February.
Right, in February.
So I don't know that he's
he's disgruntled about something. And maybe it's the culture. Maybe it's the...
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like his coach kissing him on the mouth. I don't know.
That, John, that gets way overblown.
What are you talking about?
Well, does he kiss him on the mouth? I thought it's on the cheek, and a hug and a kiss on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know where he's kissing him. Maybe he doesn't like his urine being expected every day. And you know what I'm saying?
He's really not going to like coronavirus tests regularly.
No, nobody likes that.
If you can't
you
pee
to
in
stick
a cup.
That way up your nose?
If you can't pee in a cup, you ain't going to like what's coming.
You didn't see Ian Poulter getting tested. Yes.
I saw it.
Didn't we talk about that yesterday?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah, we did. And did you see Ian Poulter shot 7-under 64?
There you go. Because he's out there swinging freely knowing he didn't have coronavirus.
Tied for the lead with Mark Hubbard.
Let me tell you something. The day that somebody can coronavirus check us by shooting like the digital thermometers that you can fire on people, like the little... From about 4 feet away, like, oh, here's your temperature. If you can do that in the irises or whatever, if the cornea will tell you that, or because it wouldn't be a temperature, but the day that we can spit in something, they go, oh, you don't have it. Go, man, that'll be the greatest day of all time. You get spit for fun. You find out if you have it or not.
You do like spitting.
Do you like to spit in people's mouths?
No, I don't. I think it's horrific.
I like to spit in his mouth while he sleeps.
I don't like that's something
you
just terrible.
You said you'd like to do it.
That could be, but potentially I could be charged with murder.
Yeah, you give someone the coronavirus.
Attempted murder if I have the virus.
Only like spitting in people's mouths. You like doing it non-consensually, like when they're sleeping.
Right.
That was the old me, not the new me.
Oh, you're new?
Not post-coronavirus. Now I would never do that.
Pre-corona, you would do that?
No, I would consider it in a revenge fantasy against... Well, it wasn't even revenge. It was somebody who was, like, wildly successful, and it was kind of a jealousy thing.
Who was that? Del, you remember?
Good-looking dude or something?
Yeah, it was somebody. It was something.
Oh, it was Sean McVay.
Yeah.
I was upset about Sean McVay.
Because he had the hot Russian...
Because you're hot for him. You want to spit in his mouth.
That's what it was.
I don't think he's hot for him.
No, not McVay.
He was upset that he was a successful coach who had the hot girlfriend.
It was the Russian model.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you, I don't know, you have something for Sean McVay. I don't know what you got for him.
Not anymore. He's a loser.
Well, you want to spit in his mouth while he's sleeping.
He's a loser. Congratulations on being terrible in the Super Bowl and then falling apart last year.
He did win like 9 games. I mean, he didn't.
Did they win that many?
Yeah, he didn't exactly fall apart.
713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I'm in London, got my beat from London. I style, no stylish, no Chanel, St. Laurent.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yesterday, AJ and I did a sports map video. So... And we did one. It was on Colin Cowherd. Did you see Colin Cowherd's list of quarterbacks and coaches and best quarterbacks?
Yeah, my son, so Alec, who is a, you know, Mr. Sports Talk now, he's following everything. He brought this to my attention.
Yeah.
The list, because he was so upset with it. He was so upset with his legend, his idol, Colin Cowherd. He was so upset with his list that, Dad, do you understand what Colin Cowherd just did today? So what did he do, son? He had a list. Like, what?
So yeah. So his list is the best combos. And Mahomes and Reed is the
number best. Two was the one that made him really upset.
Wentz and Peterson.
Yeah.
I could certainly see that. The Eagles weren't very good. Carson Wentz never won the title. Carson Wentz got him, you know, he played really well that year, but he got hurt. And Nick Foles had to take over and win it and go on to be Super Bowl MVP. So that combination, I agree with your son wholeheartedly. Drew Brees and Sean Payton has been a great combination for years and years. He's got Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll ninth on this list. I think it's number two, don't you?
Yeah, it should be number two. And I think Lamar.
I mean, good. They won a tie. They won a Super Bowl together.
Yes, I would.
They're
probably
winning without that same, you know, defense.
Hey, look,
winning. Russell Wilson is probably the second best quarterback in the NFL.
So you can say what you want about Pete Carroll if you think he's a goof or this, that, or the other, but he has won. I mean, he's been a consistent winner. The results are there that he has been a consistent guy, and Russell Wilson has been. You know, anybody who says if you think Lamar Jackson, Harbaugh, well, Lamar Jackson's got a year. Harbaugh has. Harbaugh's got some skins in the game. Lamar still needs to do it longer, but I would have Lamar higher than they have him, but not higher than Russell Wilson.
Okay, so it goes Mahomes and Reed 1, Wentz and Peterson 2, Drew Brees and Sean Payton 3, Garoppolo and Shanahan 4.
Okay, no.
Brady and Arians 5,
no.
Jackson and Harbaugh 6,
okay, no.
Goff and McVay 7, Deshaun
what?
And Bill O'Brien
Goff
8.
Goff and McVay 7?
Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll 9, and Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. Okay, mine would go 1, Reed and Mahomes. 2, Wilson and Carroll. What's your 2?
I would be the same as yours.
Okay, Dell, what's your 2?
Well, Reed and Mahomes is 1, and I'm taking Carroll and Wilson. And,
yeah.
Don't ask me to go O'Brien and Deshaun 3, because that ain't happening.
How about, what's 3 then? What's your 3?
You know what? I'm okay with the Saints combo.
I am too. Dell?
I would probably take Harbaugh and
Jackson.
Lamar, yeah.
I would go
now
with them 4.
That's my 4th as well. Because and listen. He's got to win in the postseason though, and he has it. He's not looked good in the postseason those 2 years. Secondly, I love what John Harbaugh, and the reason I've got him so high. John Harbaugh went from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson, totally changed his offense. Everything was using his player to the best of his ability, using his talents and accentuating them. and taking advantage of them and dominating teams with his talents. And that, to for that, I say John Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in the NFL. Instead, as opposed to, this is my offense and this is what we do and we're going to do it this way.
Keep going. Keep going with this game, though. It gets harder. It gets a lot harder.
Well, yeah. No, it does. But guess what? He's taking advantage of it. And I thought Bill O'Brien did that with Deshaun against Kansas City the first time that they played, when he used Darren Fells in the RPO. And I was like, oh, my gosh, where has this been? How wonderful is this? Look what did Bill O'Brien. He's innovative. He's actually using Deshaun's talents. And look at how successful. And you went to Kansas City and beat Kansas City. Holy crap. How awesome. And then went back.
Well, I don't know that all that's on Bill O'Brien. I think Bill O'Brien has the ability to be innovative and do some different things. I think his teams can be a little inconsistent. I don't think Bill O'Brien is a bad coach. I think he's an above-average coach. People around the league seem to say the same thing. Anytime I bring up his coaching, now they all think he's terrible in personnel. Like, people universally clown him around the league. No, personnel directors, GMs, cap guys, I mean, clown him for his moves.
And let's face it, he is a good coach, and they win division titles. He's got his limitations. He's terrible with clock management.
Yes.
He's terrible with the red flag. He's terrible, and yet he still yells at the game.
Watch what happens.
So four, we had Lamar Jack. Who you got four, Dell?
I would go Breeze
and Peyton. Okay.
So we've got the same four, just mix up three
just
and four.
Next, a little different.
But after you go there.
After there, it's going to be interesting.
After there, it's really, really. Because, see, here's what I'm not going to do. I think Frank Reich is really good, and I think Philip Rivers had an amazing career. But, see, I can't put Philip. I can't. Mm-mm. They haven't partnered together. So it's impossible. And it's kind of the same thing with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. Tom Brady's coming off of the worst year of his career. He's older.
Aren't you intrigued at these two him having this offensive mind with him, those two offensive minds together?
Who?
Brady and Arians.
I think Arians is a little overrated. You really want to know the truth. I mean, Arians is a vertical. He's just a vertical guy. He's not doing anything.
Well, he won a Super Bowl. Got the Cardinals to a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know. I think he's pretty good.
Well, Ben, who won a Super Bowl with the Steelers?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Ben put the team on his back, though.
Yeah, but Bruce Arians was there, too.
Bruce was there. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
You know what? Pat Mahomes put the team on his back, though, and Andy Reid's getting credit.
I think Bruce is fine. What did Bruce do last year?
Well, he had a guy that threw 30 interceptions.
Okay. But that's his offense, too. Is going to lead to more interception totals. That's part of it. I mean, you can't deny that.
Well,
Arizona
to the and one of the best Super Bowls ever.
Well,
just came up just short.
Well, they went to an NFC title game.
Yeah, they played Carolina and got smoked. But he had a third quarterback or whatever. Carson Palmer wasn't even there.
Yeah, I think he wasn't with
that Steeler Super Bowl.
Oh, he wasn't. Oh, okay.
No, he was with the Steelers, not the Cardinals.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
He won a Super Bowl with the Steelers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. I thought he was. That's right.
I mean, he's done a good job with. He had Andrew Luck. What you're probably thinking of, the argument for him is that he had Andrew Luck in the cancer season with Pagano. He did a good job there. And one of the things that BA has told me directly is, with Tom Brady, we're not going to be doing all the same vertical stuff. All of our offenses have different things baked into them, and we can make changes. BA, I think, is a good mind. I also think that if you know you got a high interception guy in Jameis Winston, you have to do everything in your power to call plays and set up the offense so that he doesn't get put in a position to fail, because he's going to make poor decisions. And we saw it last year. 30 interceptions should never – you shouldn't even be allowed to throw in 30 interceptions.
I'm going to go them five, though, anyway. I mean, listen, we haven't seen him yet. But I'm intrigued at those two minds together and to see what they do offensively.
You don't care about last year with Tom? You're just going to ignore that terrible year?
I'm going to tell you this. I saw him more inaccurate than I've ever seen him. But I'm going to bet on Tom Brady. He had an off year. but he also didn't have any receivers.
I feel like he'll be better,
too. He didn't have anybody that could separate.
Yeah, I feel like he'll be better. I feel like he'll be better.
A lot better.
I'm just – it's all reputation. It has nothing to do with how he looked, because there's plenty of not great Tom Brady yet last year on just regular throws that he should have made.
No, I saw him miss throws he never missed before.
So you're going to go five, those two?
I'm going to go those two five.
So what I'm thinking of is Deshaun Watson, because let's face it, quarterback goes first. And I'd say quarterback is 80% of this, coach is 20, realistically. But where do you put Pittsburgh Steelers in? Because Ben Roethlisberger's back. Now, he may be a 300-pound Ben Roethlisberger, don't know. And Mike Tomlin, what about those guys? Can you, like, do they deserve to be higher up on your list?
No, they're not ahead of any of these guys. They're not ahead of any of these guys. And I would put Deshaun and Bill O'Brien ahead of them anyway.
What if I ask you Matt Ryan and Dan Quinn? That's not going to be the popular choice, but if you really think about it, I don't know that Dan Quinn is a bad coach. This is where Matt Ryan's performance helps and Dan Quinn's record since the Super Bowl hurts. But, I mean, realistically, they were in a Super Bowl together and should have won.
Yeah, they should have won. That they didn't because of coaching. Well, that was Shanahan, though.
That was Shanahan.
That was Shanahan. Well, where do you put Shanahan and Garoppolo?
I put Shanahan. I got
you. Love Shanahan.
I love Shanahan. I'd put him way higher, but the problem is, I've already told you that I believe that worst case scenario it's quarterback 60%. Best case scenario it's quarterback 80%. So because of that weighting, I can't put, at least this is how I'm looking at it, because quarterbacks make the world go round. No matter how good your head coach is, he's still got to have a guy that works. And I don't have Jimmy Garoppolo that high. So to me, we're looking at more like eight.
Jimmy Garoppolo, threw for 80 yards a game.
Goff McVay? I don't know that I can get on board with Goff McVay. This feels like flash in the pan stuff.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, but they had so much. They traded for half their team. Like it was a Marlins situation where they had Sue, they had Darnold.
NFC Championship.
Donald, right, Marcus Peters. But they made all these trades, and those guys are gone now. So were they still that good last year offensively?
No, but they what 9 wins last year? I don't know. Nine I don't have them up. I got Deshaun and Bill O'Brien sixth.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Nope, that's where I would put those two. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you got any thoughts on any of that or anything else? 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Adam Schefter says, here are the seven teams to which Jets Pro Bowl safety Jamal Adams would welcome a trade, per source. Ravens, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs, Eagles, 49ers, Seahawks. Basically all pretty good football teams.
Yeah. Jamal just said, I don't want things to be too hard. Let's make it. You know, Dallas and Houston are on there because of proximity. Houston's on their proximity to Dallas. And Joe Douglas is like, put the Texans on your list, please. We'll see what happens with Bill. This is not a lie, John. I screen captured it and put it out on Twitter. As soon as Jamal Adams put his trade list out, Bill O'Brien started trending. This is not a lie. So many people were typing about Bill O'Brien trades and Bill O'Brien pulling up at the, you know, pulling up to make a trade. And it's got like so many GIFs and memes and all this stuff about Bill O'Brien that he started trending. This is what it's come to. Anytime anybody is mentioned as a potential traded NFL player, Bill O'Brien starts trending. This is not a lie. I got it. I screen grabbed it. It's true. Bill O'Brien immediately starts trending. A Jet fan I was going back and forth with was trying to convince me that Bill O'Brien has enough to make a trade for Jamal. Like, his choice, his team of choice for a trade, of course, this Jet fan, his team of choice is the Texans. Everybody wants to trade with the Texans.
Everybody wants to trade. Yeah, the Texans. Hey, yeah, his agent, you're right. The agent said, put the Texans in there. Put the Texans in there, and it'll scare. Except, you know what? It scares everybody else off, because if the Texans are making an offer, then we can't possibly compete. There's a guy, Turtle Poker.
I saw him.
Saw that?
Yeah, the pom pom waiver.
Yeah, this has got to be a Bill O'Brien burner account. I just don't. So basically what you're saying is, by getting rid of two expensive and soon-to-be exploding contracts in Clowney Hopkins while creating solid depth at running back and wide receiver, Billy has the whole league calling him first when they want to trade their player.
Yep. So what
Billy
I'm saying.
Gets first crack at every star player? Yes, he does.
Yep. There's a reason he's trending. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yet
Billy gets the choice.
I know a team who did a trade with him that laughed at him. Right. I know a team that... That literally, your team, Dell, do you know that your team, that wasn't even their demand for, the two was Stills. The two went for Stills.
I know. You told us that.
Yeah, I told you all. Yeah. Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
He's like,
you didn't tell us
what you want. Yeah.
Directly laughed at him.
Well, it is what it is.
Then this Turtle Poker
point. Two went for Stills.
Yeah.
Wide receiver three.
DeAndre got a two. Why wouldn't Kenny Stills get a two? Mm-hmm. Yeah, why is that so funny? Listen. This man has told you for years.
I don't really care about, you know, draft slots. I don't care about money. I don't care about any of those things.
He told you what he was years ago.
Yeah.
He kind of did.
Yeah.
So Turtle Poker goes on to say, Billy gets the choice to make a trade for a star player or offer so much for a star player that other teams have to make similar offers, effectively driving the price up, making it difficult for teams to field uber-competitive teams with depth like his own team before backing out.
This is all the dumbest stuff I've ever heard.
This is a Bill O'Brien burner account, I swear to God. Wait a minute. If he makes an unbelievable offer for a star player, then guess what the other team's going to do? Accept the offer, like they did with Tunsil. You know, he didn't drive up the asking price. What he did was overpaid.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he did.
I don't think the Dolphins went to another team looking for a left tackle. We're gonna need three first round picks. They're like, deal, and they made the deal. Billy didn't force another team to up the offer.
No, other teams went, are you nuts? Why are you giving two firsts and a second for Tunsil and Stills? Get out of here! Get the bleep out of here!
Tunsil got exactly what he was asking for.
And then Tunsil got 22 a year.
People in Miami will tell you, no, Tunsil got what he is. Anyone who talks to the people close to Tunsil said, no, he just played hardball and made the Texans by himself.
Didn't even need an agent to do it.
Didn't even need an agent. Made the Texans nervous. That's coming from that camp. Made the Texans nervous.
Of course he made him
just nervous. Just said, I don't want to even answer the call. When they call in, let his friend answer it. Texans got nervous. I mean, played him just with the most basic stuff. So, yes, Turtle Poker. Yes, there's a reason he's trending, because every NFL team would love a shot. It's just that they don't have a lot of first-rounders left. They've already been fired away, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. Please don't make another trade, Bill O'Brien. Please. The GM just sucks. Bill O'Brien, the GM, just sucks.
Yeah.
All right. It's just baffling. those two trades now they don't have a first or second again next year. Good Lord. You know what? He's going to trade away Deshaun for a second so he can have a second next year. That's the next move.
So he hasn't had a first.
Deshaun wants to get paid. We got to get rid of him. Deshaun wants to get paid.
It's been 3 years he's been here that they haven't had first-round pick.
Well, they didn't have one this year. They're not going to have one next year.
Yeah.
Did they have
I'm counting ahead.
With Deshaun, because of Deshaun, yeah.
Right, the year with
Reed. But that one, you know what? I'm fine with it.
Well, they didn't have a second either, John. They had a third.
Yeah. And then they
since
got
he's
Justin
been
Reed,
here, they right? have had they will have had 2 years where they didn't have a first or second, and 3 years that they didn't have a first. That's not great.
Well, and they had to trade D-Hop to get a second that other year.
Yeah, well, they had that was one of two, and then they dealt out of that. They dealt out of that that second rounder for Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, right, right, right. Oh God,
the concussion guy. So we'll see. We'll see. Did you see this shirt? A friend asked my wife to rush order this shirt for Father's Day. It screams John Granato, and all it is it just says "Cool story, babe." Now make me a sandwich.
I never said that in my life.
Yeah, he would never compliment
a
woman.
Wendy's
but,
at, Wendy's at home right now.
No, she can't hear. She's got headphones on. He wouldn't
watch how careful he is.
But he would never compliment
how do you know
her.
My wife has headphones on.
I said she doesn't have. I said you have headphones on. Oh, I said she can't hear you because
my
or
wife
the show.
Is working. Okay, my wife is in there working.
Well, that
in
too.
A town hall meeting. So.
But
and I still wouldn't say something like that.
Yeah, because you would never compliment the woman with a good story.
You would never say cool story, babe. Yeah, now make me a sandwich.
No,
you would never make a sandwich, bomb?
He would never say cool story. He would just say make me a sandwich.
Oh, is that what you're saying,
talking?
John?
Are you still talking?
Yeah. Hey, did I ask you for a story? Just make me a sandwich. He would never compliment the story. Excuse me, while you're talking.
Are you still talking?
Excuse
now
me.
Make me a sandwich?
As you're continuing to talk, which means no mustard's going on my bread. Move along.
Yeah, I don't want mustard.
That came right off the tongue easily, Dell. It's like he was like, the more time you talk, the less mustard on the bread.
Or the meat, however he wants his sandwich made.
There's a talk to mustard ratio
and
here.
And I'm not liking
it's
it.
It's a sliding scale.
You know what? Less talky-talky, more mustard.
If you only knew who I make the sandwiches in this house, all right?
Well, you're a kept man. Of course, you better make the sandwiches.
I am.
Boy, he talks a lot less tough when there's quarantine going on.
When he's at home?
Yeah. When other
she
people at
she
home.
She can't hear. No, I never talk.
Let me ask you this question.
I'm the cook in this house.
Is
so
Wendy's showing?
You don't
true.
Know about it, Lance.
No, that's true. I know you do.
Yeah.
I know you are.
And you know, in your house, who cooks?
Both of us.
You do?
Both of us, yeah. My wife
maybe,
told me my mother in law used to
maybe
do.
Maybe Nicole can make the brisket next time.
Ooh, she, oh man,
that brisket's so old. Man. That joke's so old.
But
it doesn't even have any legs.
You
left.
Know, it hit home a little bit.
It
you
didn't
know,
hit home.
You got a little twinge.
It didn't,
got,
I didn't get a twinge.
A little bit. Admit it.
It hit home.
A little twinge.
It didn't hit home. It didn't hit home.
Maybe
it didn't land.
Maybe it isn't like you bitches wish you had this stuff, but or mm-hmm. suck the
it
H.
Didn't land.
But you know, there's a little twinge.
It didn't land. I didn't even have to swing. It was like throwing a jab from 8 feet away.
Nah.
It didn't even get close to landing.
He bloodied your nose a little bit. Don't worry about it.
Let me see. John, we had one thing. So Brian Zygo, earlier it was mentioned that an article came out by Henry Abbott at True Hoop, and he talked about Tillman Fertitta's family tree and mob ties in there. And Brian goes, and the question was, why did the NFL or why did the NBA allow a fourth generation family member with mob ties to buy an NBA team? And that's one of the early questions he asked himself in this article.
All right, let's talk about it on the other side.
Okay. Well, Zygo right. just asked bigger question is why did they let people without organized crimes in their family tree buy right. major league franchises?
That's right. Why would you? I don't understand that. We all organized crime should own a major league team. Right now, I own hair. Oh, that's right. It's my hair. But you know why it's on the top of my head instead of on the back or side of my head? Because of Doc Linville and Doc Linville's greatness and Doc Linville's neo-grafting and the easy process that it was and the wonderful process that it was and the wonderful people. His staff is just a spectacular. You will love. I'm telling you. I'm still there to text back and forth with the people there. They're just great people. And you will love Doc Linville's easy manner and how good he is. He's not only the doc, the surgeon, but he's also a client. He got the neo grafting done as well. And then you got the PRP, which you can also get, which he will take your own blood and you know and shoot it into your head, and that will help the growth of your hair as well. If you're somebody that's thinning, Doc can't help you. If you're balding, if you have a bald spot, then Doc can help you. So get a consultation. It's absolutely free. 975hair.com, 975hair.com, and find out for yourself. Don't go without hair anymore. It's just too easy to have it now with Doc Linville at 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.